Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The current upheaval and the riots in the United Kingdom were predictable, but they have been overlooked, and I might say, in far too many cases, willfully overlooked, neglected. And I want to go into the reason as to why. But what lessons can we learn from these events over there, especially for the United States, but also for other countries? The Daily Mail wrote on August 3, "Widespread disruption has torn through the country this week in the wake of the Southport stabbings, where three little girls, aged 6, 7, and 9, were tragically killed or murdered. The riots are thought to be triggered by misinformation spread online as to the identity of the teenager suspected of killing the girls. Axel Ruda Cubana, 17 years old, who was born in Cardiff in England, to parents from Rwanda, was eventually named as a suspect in a bid to stop the chaos." Well, the chaos is ongoing. But it has been feared for quite a while that civic and civil unrest would be the outcome of the unfettered mass immigration that the UK has put up with in recent years. It's been a tinderbox waiting to be lit for some time now. Now, these are sad times, but they were foreseeable by some, not too many politicians, but some did see them. The Sun wrote on August 3, "This week's riots in Southport and elsewhere were, of course, reprehensible. To attack a mosque where ordinary Muslims go to pray would have been wrong even if it had been in response to an attack by Islamic terrorists. That those lobbing bricks at the police and setting their vehicles alight were acting on disinformation makes them look foolish as well as disgraceful." And let me just say, I completely and totally endorse that statement. To look at what is happening and to look at those rioters committing violent acts is reprehensible, cannot be tolerated, cannot be accepted at all. In no way can it be justified. But let's go a little further. The article continues. "But if Britain's liberal elite had been deliberately trying to drive people into the arms of the rabble-rousers, they could not have done a better job. They have done everything they can to fuel the underlying sense that the white working class is being treated very differently from the rest of the population. On Thursday, the Prime Minister held a press conference in which he lost no time in asserting that the Southport riots were clearly driven by far-right hatred. He refused to acknowledge that any of those who took to the streets might have been motivated by reasonable concerns about the safety of children. No, each and every one of them were just far-right thugs trying to spread hate. Nor, by the way, did Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, mention in his press conference other recent cases of public disorder which had nothing to do with the far right, such as the fight in Southend on Tuesday night, the attack on police at Manchester Airport last week, nor the riots in the Hare Hills area of Leeds. Those equally concerning events don't seem to feature even nearly as prominently on the radar of the liberal left because they don't feed its preferred narrative that Britain is a happy, diverse community spoiled only by hate mongering on the part of the far right. The same seems to have happened on multiple occasions when working class communities have protested, whether it be against low-traffic neighborhoods, London's ultra-low-emissions zone, or COVID lockdowns. All have been dismissed as being incited by far-right conspiracy theorists. I haven't heard, the author says here, Anyone in power admit it. But there is an unfortunate backstory, which may explain why people reacted to the killing of three girls, not to mention the injuries and mental trauma inflicted on many others, by seeking out a mosque. For years, police, social services, and other agencies failed properly to investigate gangs of men of Pakistani heritage who had been raping and sexually exploiting girls. Again, it cannot be emphasized strongly enough that it is very wrong to project the crimes of the rapists on to Britain's Pakistani population as a whole. And again, I like to emphasize and underline the statement. But it goes on. When these gangs were eventually brought to justice, it became clear from their trials that police and social services had been influenced by what the then Home Secretary Theresa May called institutional political correctness in failing to take the victims' allegations seriously enough. As a former Labour minister, Dennis McShane, put it, there was a culture of not wanting to rock the multicultural community boat. That's why I talked about willful ignorance. And worse, the article goes on to say, if people feel they cannot trust what the police and other authorities do and say, they will end up gravitating towards other voices who do appear to be representing their interests. The government needs to recognize that the Southport riots did not happen in a vacuum. That is very well put, and it should give us already an idea as to why this is so important for what's happening in the United States of America. But you see, the approach to blindness in the left eye can be seen all over the Western world, including in Europe, continental Europe, including in, especially, the USA. Breitbart wrote on August 4, the hardline rhetoric from the left-wing prime minister, who had characterized the protests and riots as far right, has been contrasted to his response during the deadly and deeply destructive Black Lives Matter riots, Antifa was involved as well, in 2020, when he infamously took the knee in solidarity with the Marxist movement and described those involved as people rightly demanding justice. The government also has faced criticism for refusing to discuss footage posted on social media appearing to show violent responses from large groups of Muslim or leftist counter-protesters. The Prime Minister's response to his first crisis of his expected 5-year term has been heavily criticized by the Reform UK party of Nigel Farage, who accused Starmer of failing to address the root cause of the anger, which is mass migration. On Friday, Farage's deputy Richard Tice said, many millions of concerned British citizens are furious at lawless Britain, children being slaughtered, soldiers being stabbed, police violently attacked in airport. Instead of empathy, Keir Starmer labeled Fork as far right. And they conclude, out of touch, clueless. However, others have demanded that the government go further. One of the more extreme takes on the crisis came from former Labour MP and current government advisor on political violence, John Woodcock, who argued that the government should consider a coronavirus-style lockdown to stamp out the uprising if it continues to persist. That is just incredible. Some left-wing politicians stop at nothing when it comes to suppression of freedom and liberty of their citizens. And so, Express wrote on August 4, Prime Minister Starmer has been urged by the Tory chairwoman of the Association of Police and Crime Commissioners to acknowledge the widespread discontent which she says is fueling protests across the UK this week. That's what she said. The government must acknowledge Why or what is causing this civil unrest in order to prevent it? Arresting people or creating violent disorder units is treating the symptom, not the cause. The questions these people want answering. What is the government's solution to mass and cold, uncontrolled immigration? How are the new Labour government going to uphold and build on British values? This is the biggest challenge facing Sir Keir Starmer's government, and it's bitten quickly. But a challenge Britain's left-wing government is most certainly not willing to address. And so Breitbart wrote on August 7, Elon Musk has branded the leftist leader as two-tier Keir over allegations that the British government has been policing violence and riots from mostly working-class white British men differently than the Muslim community in the country, which has also taken to the streets en masse over the past week in large and sometimes violent gangs. Responding to Starmer's vow that his government will not tolerate attacks on mosques or on Muslim communities, Musk replied on his social media platform, "Shouldn't you be concerned about attacks on all communities?" The Telsa chief suggested that civil war in England was inevitable, given the cross-party, multi-decade agenda of allowing incompatible cultures to be brought together without assimilation through the importation of millions of foreigners into the country. Let me just interrupt. Germany made the same mistake. Angela Merkel famously talked about, "You're all welcome, let's come over here, we can do it." And then later she admitted, "Oh, it was all a big, huge mistake. The assimilation policy did not work," she said. Continuing with the article. The fervor of the new Labour government to clamp down on social media may foreshadow a legal battle with Elon Musk's X and other firms. Last year, the conservative in name only government of Rishi Sunak passed the Online Safety Act, vastly expanding the state's ability to police the internet. While the law has yet to come into effect, it will empower British broadcaster regulator Ofcom to impose fines of up to £18 million, or 10% of global annual turnover, depending on which is higher, against social media companies to fail to censor to the standards of the British government. The impending restrictions could see free speech vastly curtailed in the UK, and potentially even see companies like X choose to withdraw entirely from the country. The same kind of movements are going on in continental Europe. It reminds me of communist China, communist Russia, of the establishment of a dictatorship. And so what are the lessons? What are the lessons? Now here an article by News, published on August 5, talks about specifically the lessons Germany should learn, because it's a German publication, but I think the same applies to the United States of America and many other countries. Here's what they wrote. If in Great Britain, where people are generally very friendly and open-minded towards strangers, anger over immigration policy erupts, as it currently does in cities from London and Liverpool to Manchester to Leeds and Bristol, all alarm bells should ring in Germany too. What is currently driving people to the streets is not just the triple murder in Southport. Migrants from the Islamic world and Africa in particular stand out due to their low educational qualifications, high crime rates, and lack of willingness to integrate. A phenomenon that is known in other European countries such as Sweden, France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Denmark, Germany, and Austria, where the problems are the same and where politics, as in Great Britain, did a lot to downplay the fatal consequences of unchecked migration. Parallel societies, gang wars, the growing influence of Islam, and increasing anti-Semitism are just some of the obvious problems. There are around 4 million Muslims living in Great Britain, and in Germany there are probably at least 6 million. To a large extent, they put a strain on the social systems here and there, and the lower classes in particular bear the direct consequences of mass migration. The newcomers settle in their neighborhoods, which is reflected in the situation at schools and in the eroding security in public spaces. Ordinary people compete with migrants for living space and jobs. And the more immigrants come, especially from Islamic cultural areas, the more the feeling of being at home in their place of residence disappears. A forced cultural and social change that is bound to cause bad blood sooner or later. In Hamburg, for example, houses were built according to the latest standards just for refugees, but people who have lived here for a long time and who are paying for the astronomically high cost of migration with their tax money are desperately looking for apartments. At the same time, they notice how Muslims reject our society, demonstrating in tens of thousands on our streets and squares for the terrorist Hamas or calling for the caliphate. This can't go well in the medium term, and most certainly not in the long term. And that is not only true for Hamburg. There are many cases, many cities in Germany where people cannot find housing, appropriate housing, because it's all reserved for immigrants. You know, my friends, when Jesus Christ comes down to this earth to rule this world, these kind of politics will not be allowed any longer. They simply will not be allowed, and Christ will see to it. We are sometimes being asked, why are we talking about these things in our programs? Well, because we are showing you how this world is today, but how it should be in the light of biblical standards, and of course also how it's going to be in the light of biblical prophecy. We are producing every week an update which goes into current events, which goes into the Bible, having a Q&A, a Bible study, if you please, an editorial, and also some information about the work we are doing. You can get a free copy of that update by just subscribing to it when you go to our website. So we'll keep you informed that way, and we can be thankful to God that he will stop this insanity soon when he sends his son back to this earth to establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. So thank you very much for listening. Until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.